is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Father, and tell me what he's been to you.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
Answering God.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
Answering God.
Hallelujah.
Would you give the Lord a hand of praise for being the God that He is, who hears and answers our prayer? You'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear your word speak to our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit give us insight and understanding in your word. Help us to see us the way you want us to see, to be seen, to do. And God, we pray that you would have all the victory in each of our lives, that you will receive all the glory and the honor as you give to us the goods. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. The Spirit of the living God has been dealing with me some while on this, and this is a word for the church today. A word for the church. There may be areas in your life, issues in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, where there are things that aren't happening that should be happening. Doors that should be opening that aren't opening. Ways that should be made that aren't being made. And that very well may be an answer for it that you're not aware of. And the word of God simply says, quench not the spirit. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Quench not the spirit. Help me preach this. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. The word of God says,
quench not the spirit.
Now tell your other neighbor, neighbor,
the word of God says,
quench not the spirit.
Now tell yourself, neighbor,
that's me,
quench not the spirit.
See, some of y'all didn't want to do it because I said neighbor me. That's you. Stop fighting everything.
Listen, one of the reasons why this word is so important is because of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It is so vitally important, necessary, so paramount that we have the Holy Spirit's free-flowing movement in our lives for us to be able to be, to do, to become everything that we're supposed to be, to do everything we're supposed to do. We've got to understand that without the Holy Spirit in this life, we will never ever fulfill our purpose nor accomplish the things that God desires us to in this life. One of the things that I think is so important, as Paul admonishes the church at Thessalonica to not quench the spirit, is to understand how important in these four words what God is saying to the church. Why is this so important? Quench not the spirit. Well, let's look at the word quench. And let's begin there, because if we're not supposed to do it, it would be helpful for us to know not what to do. All right. The word quench means for us very carefully to understand that we are not to put out. It means literally for us to make sure that we do not suppress, that we do not exterminate, or that we do not yield. The Hindu word snifle means to hush the voice of. We do not extinguish the fire, the level of flow and light to the fire. The Holy Spirit is seen as fire. And when it talks about quench not the spirit, it's likening the spirit to fire. And it's saying, do not put the fire out. In the Old Testament, God lit the fire and gave man the responsibility to keep the fire burning. When Paul and the 276 members on the ship going to see Caesar were shipwrecked, and they made it to a little isle called Melita, and the barbarous people started them a fire because it was raining and cold. And after Paul had gotten warmed by the fire started by the barbarous people, he backed away from the fire and went to collect firewood to put on the fire to keep the fire burning. A viper came out of the wood and latched onto his hand, and Paul simply shook the viper off in the fire and felt no harm. I've shared with you many principles, but the main principle is, if you can't start the fire, then you ought to have sense enough to keep it burning. Now, we didn't start the holy fire of God in our lives. The Holy Ghost is that fire. God has done that, and it is up to us to keep that fire burning by not quenching the Holy Spirit, not suppressing, not snifling or hushing the Holy Spirit. This is so important Because there are many ways that we can quench the Spirit of God. I'll just throw out three just to help you understand. One of the reasons why it's important for us to understand that we should not quench the Spirit is because when we begin to realize that the Holy Ghost is the last present agent of God working in this earth realm, doing for us what God wants done, if we reject the Holy Ghost's power, his presence, his ability to work on our behalf, we mess up the blessing of him dwelling and dealing with us with powers we could not even begin to cope with. We're no match for the enemy. I don't care how prayed up you are. I don't care how holy you are. You are no match for the supernatural powers of Satan. Don't think that you are, my brother, my sister. But when you are in a holy place, you call on a holy God who will give to you the Holy Spirit to fight this holy war and win it because of he who is greater in you than he that is in the world. Now, three ways that we can quench the Spirit. One is by saturating the Spirit, watering it down, watering the Word, watering the effects, bringing down the level of fire that's way up here so you can control it rather than it controlling you. Some folk like to be in position where it says it don't take all of that. So they water it down. They water not the Holy Ghost, but the effects of the Holy Ghost in their lives. They water it down so much so that that moistness, that dampness literally puts down, brings down the flame so that it does not have full and free course to flow wherever it chooses to. They corral the Spirit by dampening it so much so that it stays in this little spot. And if they continue to water it, they eventually put it out in their lives. Think about Christians who used to have joy. They were on fire for the Lord. Man, just looking at them, you talk with them, shake their hand, you could feel the power of God flowing through. But they have so saturated the power of God in their lives until they have lowered the flame, quenched the power in their lives. Well, what is another way that you can quench the Spirit? Number two is you're able to smother the Spirit. How do you do that? First of all, by not feeding it the fuel that it needs to grow. When you start taking away few from the Holy Ghost to be able to flow in, to grow in, to glow in, then you smother him. Why? Because the Holy Ghost again needs free course to flow as he sees fit, not how we see fit. And the difference in many of our lives is we don't give him, listen, the word that he needs, which is what we should have,
in Christ Jesus in us, and Christ in we in Christ, and Christ in us. The Holy Ghost takes the word, runs on the tracks of God's word. He is fueled by God's word. All of this is a part of what it takes to fuel the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost is the one who utilizes that to bring revelation and understanding. Listen, you got to get some word in you before you can understand the word. You'll never understand your purpose till you understand the word of God. You'll never understand what your calling is till you understand the word of God. You'll never understand what God is doing in you in this moment till you understand the word of God. And the Holy Ghost feeds off of that word in you. That's why the devil doesn't want you to get no word. He'd rather you be filled with a bunch of hype and a bunch of noise and a bunch of everything else that's not like God. Listen, you should get inspiration, but it ought to come from information. In other words, you ought to get excited about the word of God and about what the Holy Spirit reveals about that word in you. And so it makes sense. It comes to life when you understand it from his point of view. But you've got to have it. That's what fuels the Holy Ghost. That's why he listens to you and listens to you and listens to you and don't move until you start speaking word. That's like good Christians who know the word, and preachers get up there and they talk about all of this and they talk about that and they give you poems and they tell you about this and the political, you know, fervor of this and they this and that and all the rest of that, and folks sitting there and he said, now let me get to the word, and they say, all right now. It's like, now I want to hear something now. That's going to stir my soul. That's going to enrich my spirit, man. All the rest of this stuff is just stuff. Give me something that I can go back like the Bereans and search and let the Holy Ghost give me even deeper meaning and understanding. Give me rhema about that word so that I understand it in the context of my own life, my own situation, my own trials. And so when you begin to realize that there's another reason why we quench the spirit, and that's because of soil, dirt, sand. You see, when we are around, participate in stuff that's dirty, any appearance of evil, black-heartedness, mean, dirty, low-down things, the Holy Ghost is quenched because it is an unclean environment. And one of the ways to put a fire out is to throw dirt on it or sand on it. Or one of the ways to put the fire of the Holy Ghost out is to soil it with our immoral lives, doing stuff you know you're not supposed to do. Quenching the spirit means the Holy Spirit is telling you, you don't need to do this. And you turn the radio up. You don't need to do this. And you try to drown him out in your thoughts. The Holy Ghost is warning you and said, you don't need to go there. And yet you still make it your business to go. The Holy Ghost is saying, you don't need to make that call. And you still, because dirt is on your mind, you're soiling the holy place. And so you quench the spirit because he does not like a dirty house. Know ye not that your temple, your body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Know ye not that you've got to be clean and holy and pure, and the Holy Ghost reminds you, he warns you, he gives you notice that you're about to get into some dirty stuff. Don't put that in there. He'll have to back back and leave away from you, quenching his ability to keep you in that righteous place when you try and hush him. Well, I'm just going in, but I ain't gonna have a drink. Yeah, well, you might not have a drink, but you might get in trouble in other ways. You might have a dance that leads to a phone number, that leads to a call late in the midnight hour. And you didn't have a drink at the bar, but you have a drink at the house. I'm just trying to help you understand. He saw all of that when he told you, don't even stop there. Don't make the call. Don't do this. Don't do the other. And when we soil the presence of our body, our minds, we quench the spirit. You know, on the cartoons when you were small, they had the little angel on the one side, the little demon on the other side. The devil saying, yeah, go on, do it, do it, do it. And I'm saying, no, don't do it, don't do it, it's wrong. And you know, and after a while, the devil winds up, of course, persuading you, and then, poof, the little angel is gone. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. When you quench him and you fight him and you come up with reasons to reason out what he's saying and you go against what he has warned you, then you are on your own. Now, that's just three ways you can quench him. There are so many other ways you can quench the Spirit. But I also want to tell you why it's important not to quench him, because of what he means to you. There are so many, a plethora of reasons why he means so much to you and things he does for you. But one of the first things I need you to know is the Holy Spirit enlivens you. Enlivens you. Quickens you. Brings you to spiritual life. Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Led him into a valley. Asked him, what did he see? And he saw a valley full of dry bones. God spoke to him and told him to prophesy on those bones. And when he prophesied on those bones, that they would come together, that they would come to life, and then ultimately that his spirit would be placed in them so that they would come alive. The Holy Spirit enlivens you. That's why you see so many dry, dead Christians in worship. People shouting all around. Like, I wish you would step on my foot. You step. Yeah. Hit my head one more time, and I'm going to show you something. All that jumping and shouting and clapping. I don't take all of that. They can't sit still. Music just started. They bumping and jumping. Saying nothing. But you see, when you're in a praiseful, worshipful state and you anticipate God's movement and the Spirit is moving, you ain't got to wait till the song is over to shout. You already get an advance warning on your spirit about something about to happen. You better watch your feet. You better give me room up. Something about to happen in this place. He enlivens us. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, it don't matter what your age is, when the Holy Ghost is a part of you, when you know him, he can give you life and quicken you like none other can. Not only does he enliven, but he enlightens us. Why is that so important that he enlightens us? Well, that's the Holy Ghost's job. Jesus said he was going to pray the Father to send us the Holy Ghost, and that he would bring all things to our remembrance, and that he would teach us all things. He would teach us all things. Why is that the Holy Ghost's job? One, because he knows all things. Wouldn't you want somebody to teach you all things that know all things? Our problem is we got folk teaching us stuff they don't know. Stuff they just read a few minutes before they came to your class. Ask them questions they can't answer because they don't know it. You know, he knows everything, including you. What you've done. How you feel. What you're thinking. Every single thing. He knows it all. And listen to this. If he'll teach you all truth, that means it's not just sacred truth, not just secular truth, but all truth in all arenas, everywhere, in all things. The Holy Spirit can teach you stuff about stuff you don't even know, never heard of. But the Holy Ghost is your teacher. On the day of Pentecost, when he enlightened them and gave them minds to speak in people's tongues that they had never learned the language of, because of the enlightenment of their mind, they didn't know it themselves as such. The Holy Ghost gave them that enlightened knowledge that they spoke in every man's tongue, so that every man there represented heard the gospel in his own tongue. The Holy Ghost enlightened him like that, them like that. That's what he does. There's some things you can't figure out. The Holy Ghost can tell you. You've got to understand that. That is his job. That's why you don't want to quench him, because he's waiting for you to use you and your faculties to bless you in this earth realm. He's not just waiting until you get over in glory and all of the wonderful things prepared over there. He's got some wonderful things on this side that he's been ordered and ordained to show you about over here. Why? Because they're not going to be over there. There are some wonderful things that you ought to be enjoying on this side of glory, because you're not going to have them on the other side. I learned that long, long, long time ago in the Word of God, that there are just some things that we have on this side, they won't be over on the other side. So why are they here? For you to enjoy here. And that's the Holy Ghost's job. The Holy Ghost is able to give you an idea that can make you an instant an idea. One idea. And he enlightens one. You don't want to quench him, because he'll give you ideas so that you can be blessed and be a blessing. But listen, if you don't take him up on what he enlightens you with. Well, what do you mean I don't take him up? Well, listen, when the Holy Ghost gives me thoughts and when the Holy Ghost gives me insight, I got sense enough to write it down. See, when you get a revelation from the Holy Ghost and he's speaking to you, you quench him when you act like your mind is so strong and your recall is so incredible that 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years later, you can recall it. You might be able to, but how many times have the devil robbed you of that thought, of that memory, of that blessing, of that way, of that thing he wanted to encourage somebody else through, and the devil took it because you didn't write it down? Well, the Holy Ghost starts saying, well, you know what? If they're that bigoted, like I've not shown them anything, I've not given them this revelation, and they can't record it in no way to keep it for safekeeping. Listen, I know I woke them up at 3 o'clock this morning, but it was quiet, and I wanted to talk to them while I had their full attention. So I hoped that they would at least jot it down.